silent apathy. To God we now repent for the years of work we might have done that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. Here it is, February 9th, 2025. We thank you for joining us. We hope you're prayed up. We hope you are well and blessed and staying warm as this winter continues on. And we had a little bit of winter weather out here and more on the way, but that's good in its season. Again, we hope you're prayed up. We start out with the pistol prayer. We'd be glad to send this to you on a Bible bookmarker. We continue to send them out almost every week. And so hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be, and thank you. Thank you for the victory. And we're going to continue to remind you to be reading your Bible. The answers are there. The instructions are there. The guidelines, you can't go wrong reading your Bible. We have the Bible reading plan. We'll be glad to send it to you. It's available on the website as well. And so it's never too late to start. It's not. It's kind of like the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago and today. The best time to read your Bible is today. So we encourage you to do that. You know, in this time of lies, have a couple current events I want to share with you, but Proverbs 12 explains quite a bit. Lots there in Proverbs, but Proverbs 12:17 reminds us. It says, whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. A false witness utters deceit. We have a lot of deceit in the land, a lot of deceit being exposed. But wanted to share a couple with you this morning. One was the Ford electric vehicles, and I've got this titled, How'd That Work Out? You know, Ford electric vehicles, GM, quite a few of the major auto manufacturers have been pushing the electric vehicles for the last few years. Had a graphic here, Ford. They've got their Ford Lightning pickup truck, the F-150, that was just supposed to be the latest and greatest. You see there in the upper left, the Ford electric Mustang that has just been a flop. And they've got their whole lineup. Well, guess what? Ford lost $5.1 billion on electric vehicles in 2024 alone. They reported a $5.1 billion loss in its electric vehicle and software business, which goes hand in hand in 2024, with expectations of losing even more in 2025. They call it the Model E, losing $5 billion. That's an increase from the $4.7 billion they lost the year before, and they're predicting to lose more in 2025. Bad investment for Ford. They believed the lie. They went along with it. I don't have a slide for it, but you contrast that with Toyota in 2023, Toyota started backing off their electric vehicles and not focusing on them and focusing more on the hybrids and even the gas engines and more so. And so just a big difference. And, you know, we try to stay out of politics here. There's so much going on, so much changing every day. We're trying to stay out of a lot of politics here, but I thought this applied. President Trump suspends the $5 billion electric vehicle charging station program. Transportation Department says it's just causing havoc. That's from the Washington Post. President Trump's administration recently halted the $5 billion O'Biden electric vehicle charging program, which has been criticized for its poor production of charging stations and suspended the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Programs. That was a big, supposed to be a big to-do to put, you know, hundreds of thousands of electric charging stations all over the country to power up these electric vehicles. In August of 24, then-President Joe Biden claimed the administration had built 500,000 charging stations across the country. That's what he said in a quote. I remember him saying that, where in reality, they had only built 8. Now, that's a little different. 500,000 we built. They've only built 8. It's that deceit that has been just part of the administration, part of the government for so long. But thankfully, eyes are being opened. And how about not just that, but how about diet? How's that diet working out for you? You know, this is the kind of stuff that's put out for food today. And that little thing of ketchup there, that's like eating, that's just like pouring sugar down your gullet. And how's that working out? I wanted to throw this in here, you can just say no. You can just say no. This next little graphic I saw when I was researching this, and it was like the first and last time that teenage boys refuse food if Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were teenagers when that happened. But I thought that that was interesting because having teenagers, it's rare that they don't want to eat. But, you know, God provides his way. Psalms 107:9 talks about that. It says, he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And he still does. Well, it may be a little harder to do it. And you know, the Burger King may smell pretty good when you drive by it, but it's just not good for you. It's not working out. These lies, this deceit, is going by the wayside. And it's truth that's coming out. Saw this report and this graphic. It's estimated that nearly half of Americans will have obesity by 2030. That's only 5 years down the road. Half. Half of the nation of Americans will be obese in 5 years. And the health, the food, the health, this next one, it wasn't hard to find pictures of, you know, just people in the hospital eating more crap. Oh, even if they're in the hospital, family sick. We see that. It's just part of our society. It's got to change. We've got to change things. Americans spend more time living with diseases than the rest of the world. I thought that was interesting. And it's because they get sick earlier and are sick longer. American Medical Association finds people in the U.S. are sick for an average of over 12 years. And that's an increase from 2000. Sick in your lifetime, an average of 12 years. That's not God's plan. That's not how it should be. 6 in 10 Americans have at least one chronic disease. 4 in 10 have two or more, whether it's heart disease or diabetes or whatever it may be. Kidney disease, glaucoma. Food is the key. We've been talking about it on Coffee for quite a while. Been trying to get the point across to remind everybody food is the key. Disease starts on your plate. I'm glad to see that these type of reports are coming out more and more. They're becoming more mainstream. You're not a conspiracy theorist if you try to point this out, that we are what we eat. Disease starts on your plate, a cardiologist says. Metabolic health is the key to warding off chronic disease. The worst thing someone can do for their metabolic health, that's how your body functions, how it processes food, is to eat a diet high in ultra-processed foods, sugar, and other low-quality carbohydrates, such as flour-based products, rice, and pasta. To optimize metabolic health, got to change that, got to eat whole foods, avoiding the sugar, low-quality, ultra-processed that we said before. Keep active and reduce stress. That means cutting out ultra-processed foods, eliminating the low-quality carbs, the refined breads, the pastas, the rice, the potatoes. If you eliminate those, maybe not for forever, but even 4 to 6 weeks, this report talked about, you'll actually start to reset your metabolic health. You know, again, the Bible talks about in all things moderation. And for so many in our nation, that's just gone out the window. You want to eat, sit down and eat right, all you can eat buffets. And you want to drink, drink all you want. That's just not good. And we see the result of that. See, there are some things we can't, you know, you can't pray for a hole and just lean on a shovel. No, you got to get to work. You can't pray for health and do nothing about it. That's just all there is to it. There's a lot that we can do. Part of that is obeying His Word, reading His Word, finding out what His Word, His truth, His instructions say about health and food and healing, and then obeying it. A couple scriptures here, Exodus 23:25. Exodus 23:25 says, "Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you." Now, we should believe that scripture, and we should obey that scripture. Worship the Lord your God. When we read through His Word, we see what that applies. And then also Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. A cheerful heart. That's strange. Heart disease is one of the number one killers in the United States today. You think there's a lot of cheerful hearts out there? No. Because if there were, heart disease would not be the number one killer in the nation. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Boy, we are living that today. So here's the answer. There's the instructions. And whether we want to follow it or not, that's a different story. One more quick scripture, Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Are you feeling weak? Are you feeling like you need to be stronger? Guess what? Hope in the Lord. It says, "They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Who is that? Those who hope in the Lord. Those who read His Word, who trust His Word, who obey His Word. Even in these days. Especially in these days. Well, don't forget the network website. We try to take a moment here in the middle to remind you of that. SFAWBN.com, a Voice in the Wilderness broadcasting network. The news wire's there. The broadcast schedule, tons of information is there. If you've got happenings, things going on that you see in your neighborhood, especially your local news, you can email them to us. You see the email there, jason@sfaw.org. You email us your current events and breaking news. We'll post it there and do our best to share it with the remnant. Well, again, lots going on the national scene. We got a little later start this morning. I just want to go over a couple points of good news. You know, the good news of the gospel is not just hearing it, but trust and obey. You know, that song, man, oh man, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And I think we're seeing a shift in our land. I think we're seeing a change in the spirit of the land. And just a couple of quick, I'm going to call them good news, okay, in the physical. This is Representative Harriet Hageman, the one representative, because we've only got 500,000 people in Wyoming, and that gets you one representative in Congress, says we should not have a federal Department of Education. Oh, my gosh. But look at this other graphic. The nation's report card, which just came out about 2 weeks ago, shows the worst student performance in years. Fourth grade, everything down. Eighth grade, everything down. Harriet Hageman says we shouldn't have a federal Department of Education. Shouldn't have it. We need to look at what it is. The Education Committee to the cut? Well, I would cut out the federal Department of Education. That can save us hundreds of billions. Says she would abolish it. Abolish the federal Department of Education. She's not the only one. She comes back and says, you know, education is a state issue. We shouldn't have the federal Department of Education. We can do block grants to the states, which is what we did prior to 1980, when under Carter, the Department of Education came into existence. But the Federal Department of Education, since it came into existence in 1980, the test scores have continuously slid. Now, the only people that can argue about this are the people that, you know, the Department of Education anymore is part of a destruction of the educating of our children and a jobs program. That's really what it is, just a job, just to give people work, give them something to do. Cut it out. I'm all about just cut it out. You know, we push homeschooling anyway, and we're seeing, and we've reported to you from here, the massive increase, and it continues to grow, of homeschooling. And the last thing that I've got for you today, I think Super Bowl's today. How about that? But you know, I think it's a new Super Bowl today. Saw a couple things. There's been, you know, before Tim Tebow, you didn't see much about professional, especially professional football players, really praising God or giving honor to God. But you've seen a change. I don't watch football, but you've seen a change in these since then. And I'm going to give the credit to God and to Tim Tebow for bringing this on. But I saw this headline, and I wanted to share it, being that it is Super Bowl day. Bible study and prayer are a part of Super Bowl prep for the Chiefs and the Eagles. It's not uncommon to hear NFL players give all the glory to God in their post-game TV interviews. But this Sunday Super Bowl, the Christian commitment of both teams is anything but casual. We pray before every game as a team together. There's Bible studies on Fridays, chapel, mass before the game Saturday evening, and Coach Andy Reid leads an Our Father prayer after every game, Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker told the AFP. So there's definitely a big Christian feel, and I think that starts with our owners as well, Clark and Tavia Hunt. I'm not a big sports fan, but I know the Super Bowl comes around every year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is different. This is different. I don't remember seeing a report like this last year on the Super Bowl, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. It's different. And I think it's interesting, a little microcosm, this last one. There's a big Christian feel. I think it starts with our owners. See, it starts at the top. Sometimes it needs to start at the bottom, but it starts there with the owners. They create a feeling, a spirit, and it goes out to those that are working for them, that are under them. Isaiah 43, 18, 19, couple quick scriptures, and then we'll move on. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing some new things in the land. And that is a good thing. I think that it is a way and a river for people to get through this wilderness that we're in. And it's come up in my thought lately, this Isaiah 43:10, and this is my last scripture of the morning, that we are his witnesses. We are to see these things and to be able to explain and share to those that still have blinded eyes. Quick scripture, Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, said the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. So, what an opportunity we have to share the true gospel and to help give hope from the scriptures in these times that there are so many in need. Well, that's all the time we've got this morning. Stay tuned. We've got a timeless pulpit message for you coming up, and another good message for you right after that. Again, thanks for joining us here this, it's still early in February 2025. God bless.
Well, come and listen in to a radio. radio station where the mighty host of heaven sent. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that is love can bring, turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Gotta do is listen for the call. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you listen in, you will be a believer, leaning on the truth that will never fall. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.